All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 65. As I was thinking about where we would go next, of course, we're coming into the Christmas season. That's not too far away. We have our International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and that is on the last Sunday of this month. Which, by the way, on the 24th of this month, we are having a baptism service, and we have a couple folks that are going to be baptized, and if you would like to be included in that, if you've not been baptized since you've trusted Christ as your Savior, of course, you need to be, and Jesus commands that, so we would love to include you in that. You can go online and sign up for baptism that way by finding the forms, or if you have questions, just call the church office and Annie'd be happy to help you. So anyway, as I thought about what we might do next, we have maybe about 4 weeks or so before we get into the Christmas season, and I was thinking about some of the challenges facing us right now as a church. Of course, we're in transition as we are going to be looking for a new worship pastor. We have a huge mess downstairs in our children's wing. We can't even use it right now. It's been all gutted, and we're in the process of getting that back together, and you'll hear more about that in a couple weeks when we have our congregational meeting. And of course, we don't know everything yet. We're still getting bids and trying to figure out how much it's going to cost us to put back together. We're also just trying to figure out, as a leadership team, how to best reach into our community with the gospel, make inroads into this neighborhood and city in which God has placed us. And so all of those things really are things that we need God's help with, aren't they? And so many more. And so I thought for the next number of weeks, as we face these challenges, we would think about the subject of prayer. We need God. We need His intervention. And so I'd like us to think about prayer under this series heading. What difference does prayer make? That's a good question, isn't it? What difference does prayer make? And we're going to talk about that for the next number of weeks. Not sure how many yet, but maybe three or four. But what difference does prayer? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What difference does prayer make? Have you ever wondered if it really matters whether you pray or not? I mean, isn't God going to do what He's going to do, whether we ask Him to or not? Does prayer really change anything? Does God act in response to our prayers in a way that He would have had we not prayed? In the grand scheme of things, does it matter whether we pray or not? Does it matter whether you pray or not? Will the world be any different if I'm prayerless or if I pray? Those are interesting questions. We need to think about that, because what difference does prayer make? It's a good question. And if prayer doesn't make any difference, then why pray? Why waste our time doing something that is ineffective? Why frustrate ourselves? Well, we have to ask ourselves another question. If prayer does make a difference, and of course we're going to say that it does, if prayer does make a difference, why do so many of us do so little praying? Or put another way, why do so many of us not pray more? Why do we so often live as though prayer does not make any difference? If, as the Bible plainly and clearly teaches, that God answers prayer, and that there are things we don't have because we didn't pray and ask for, and that there are things that God doesn't do because nobody asked Him to do those things, and that God does do mighty and miraculous things in response to prayer, then why don't we pray more? Why don't we ask God to do things? Why don't we seek His face? Well, the place to begin, if we're going to become people who pray, is to understand that there is a God who hears prayer. So, in Psalm 65:2, and this is what I'd like to be our main text for the day, we find simply a statement. As the psalmist is speaking to God, he says, "You who hear prayer, to you all men come." The Bible refers to God as the one who hears prayer. Stop and think about that for a moment. Reflect on that. the God who hears. The God who hears prayer. The God who hears your prayer. The God who hears my prayer. There's an awful lot of power packed in that verse. O you who hear prayer. And the idea of hearing is more than the act of hearing a sound or of our voices when we pray, because God hears everything, right? When it says, you who hear prayer, it's not just that he hears the noise we're making with our mouth. He hears every sound. He hears every word that anyone speaks. He has complete and immediate understanding and awareness of all things because he's God. So there's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing he doesn't hear. There's nothing he's not aware of, even before it happens. And so when we think of this statement that God is the God who hears prayer, think about it this way. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody, have you ever said this or had someone kind of annoyingly say it to you? Yeah, I hear you. Right? Right? What does that mean? That's sarcastic. It means I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Right? It means I hear the words you're making, but it really doesn't matter to me. I'm going to ignore you. And that's not what the Bible means when it says that God hears our prayers. When it says, oh, you who hear prayer, when it says God is a God hearing prayer, it means he responds to our prayers. It's an active listening, an active hearing. He hears our prayers and he answers them. 1 John 5:14 and 15 reminds us that this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So the context isn't just that God hears the sound of our voices. The context is that he responds to our prayers, that he answers our prayers. So notice our confidence is that he hears us. Our confidence is that we can pray and make requests and that he will respond to our prayers. Psalm 4:3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The Lord hears when I call. The Lord hears when you call to him. The Lord hears when we pray. The Lord hears when we bring our petitions to him. The Lord hears when we're in desperate trouble and we ask for his help. He hears us. So in order for us to become confident in prayer, as John said earlier in 1 John 5, we need to understand some things about this God who hears and answers prayer. There's something about knowing who God is. There's something about knowing what God is like that gives us confidence and motivates us to pray. So let's think about that this morning. First of all, we need to understand that the God who hears is there. So that's a funny statement. The God who hears is there. He's there. He is exists. In other words, there is a God who hears prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe what? That he is, that he exists, that he is there. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So this is a very basic and fundamental starting point, but it's absolutely necessary. There is a God. He exists. He is there. He lives. The atheists are wrong. And if there is no God, then there is no prayer. And the problem is, and why we have to think about this on such a fundamental level, is that so many of us live as if there is no God. We're Christians. We've confessed faith in the Lord Jesus. We would say we believe there is a God, but we go through our days and we live and we exist without really giving much thought to the fact that God is there or coming to him, going to him for his help or petitioning him for anything, much less anything that we think is really incredible to ask him to do or in ways to move in this world. So there is a God, and the Bible says that he is a prayer-hearing God. So what difference does prayer make? Well, if there's a God who hears and answers prayer, then it makes an immeasurable difference. And if there is a God who hears and answers prayer, then we better pray. So think about this. Either God exists or he doesn't. If he doesn't exist, then prayer is meaningless. So don't pray. If he does exist, then either he answers prayer or he doesn't. If he doesn't answer prayer, then prayer is meaningless, so don't pray. If he does answer prayer, then either we pray or we don't pray. If we don't pray, then prayer makes no difference in our lives. If we do pray, God will hear and answer prayer so that our lives will be impacted in time and eternity by the answers that God provides. It's pretty simple. Remember last week we talked about Matthew and him coming to Christ, Christ calling him, Matthew coming to Christ and then immediately going and trying to introduce Jesus to all of his sinner friends. And I was challenging you to do the same, to find ways to bring the gospel to the people around you. Well, think about this matter of prayer. Have you prayed about that? You say, well, I don't really know any unsaved people. Lord, would you bring unsaved people into my life? Do you believe he can do that? If prayer makes a difference, then start praying that. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, Lord, would you give me the words? Would you help me to understand? Would you help me maybe to read something, to study something, to find a tract I could use, something? Would you help me so I have the words to say? Does prayer make a difference? Would God answer that prayer? Could he answer that prayer? So have you prayed about that? Because you might have gone away saying, well, that sounds good, and yeah, there's lost people out there, and we need to reach them, but there's really nothing I can do because I don't have any unsafe friends, and even if I did, I wouldn't know what to say. Well, guess what? You're leaving God out of the equation. And if prayer makes a difference, then start praying about that. So watch this. If there's a God who hears and answers prayer, then we must pray. We must give ourselves to prayer. We must be compelled to pray. And if we don't pray, then we deprive ourselves of so much of God's blessing. If we don't pray, we accept the status quo for our lives when things could be so different. If we don't pray as a church, we accept the status quo for our church when things can be so different. If we don't pray, we fail to become change agents through the power of prayer. Do you ever think about that? You can be a change agent. You can bring change to the world around you through the power of prayer, because there is a God and there is a prayer-hearing God, and that hearing means he answers prayer. And so if you pray, you can bring change to the world around you. If we don't pray, we rob others of God's blessing that would come to them through our prayers on their behalf. Think about that. Do you know some missionaries on the mission field? Do you think your praying for them makes any difference? What difference does prayer make? You think it's just empty words? Or do you think if you pray for those people that God would help and bless and provide in ways that he wouldn't because nobody asked for those people on the mission field? You have family members, you have friends, you have people at work. Do you think about praying for those people? Because if we don't pray, if there is a God who hears and answers prayer and does things in response to prayer that he won't do if we don't pray, what about those people that are in your circle of influence that you're not praying for? You are robbing them of blessing that God would bring into their lives by virtue of your prayerlessness. Think about that. Prayer makes a difference because God is there. Secondly, the God who hears answers our prayers. The God who hears answers our prayers. Back to Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That means that when we seek God, God responds to us. That means when we seek God in some way, and it's different in different circumstances, but in some way, when we seek God, there's a response from God. You see, a person can believe that God exists, but then also believe that God does not interact with us. And that's the heresy of deism. Deism says, yeah, there's a God. He exists, but he doesn't have anything to do with us. He created us in the world, and then he sort of withdrew and said, okay, just let it go, and I'm not going to have any interaction with my creation. He's left it to run its course. There are no miracles. There's no intervention from God. There's a God, but he doesn't answer prayer. Well, Hebrews 11:6 says that God is a rewarder of those that seek him, and this is true at a number of levels. It's true of salvation, right? When we come to God and we say, God, we seek God and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, what does he do? He responds and he saves us, right? It's also true on the level of prayer. Once we're Christians, when we come to know the Lord, when as God's children we come seeking him in prayer, guess what he does? He is a rewarder of those who seek him. So when we seek him, he responds to us. He interacts with us. He does things in response to our praying that he wouldn't have done if we didn't pray. And the principle here is that when we seek God, God responds to us. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that's what we find in greater detail and elaboration in Matthew 7:7-11. These are Jesus' words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who, what? Ask him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. When we come to God in prayer, he responds. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given to you. When is it given to us? When we ask. When do we find? When we seek. When are the doors opened? When we knock. To whom does the Father give good things? To those who ask. That necessitates some questions. What door have you been knocking on? What have you been asking for? What have you been seeking for? You see, and if you're saying, well, God doesn't do anything in my life. Well, you haven't been knocking. You haven't been asking. You haven't been seeking. Because God responds when we pray. So in order for prayer to make a difference, there must be a prayer for God to answer. Many of you will be familiar with George Mueller. He was a 19th century Christian who built and sustained orphanages by miracles that came through prayer. This is what George Mueller said. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. Think about that. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. You don't go to God in prayer and have to beg him because he's not in the mood to answer prayer today. Because he's saying, you know, I really don't want to give you anything. I don't really want to do anything for you. But you've been so stinking annoying and you just keep coming to me every day. All right, so you'll leave me alone. It's not it at all. Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. God wants to bless us. God wants to do good things for us. God wants to use us in our world, in our community, in our lives for his glory and his good and our good. But we have to pray. The Bible is full of examples that reinforce this very truth. Think about it. Through the prayers of Moses, God sustained the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. Remember all those wilderness stories? The Israelites in the wilderness, and Moses was constantly praying for the people, and God sustained them. Through the prayers of Abraham, Lot and his family were saved before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Prayer accomplished that. Through the prayers of Isaac, his barren wife Rebekah became pregnant. Prayer accomplished that. Through the prayers of Elijah, a drought was brought to an end. Prayer accomplished that. Through the prayers of the church, Peter was miraculously released from prison. Prayer accomplished that. Look at the broad spectrum of different aspects of life those examples touch. Nations, wombs, circumstances. Do you think God is interested in answering prayer? Absolutely. And he's the same God. He hasn't stopped answering prayer. He hasn't grown old and deaf. God didn't say in the Old Testament that he's the one who hears prayer, but now it's been so long, he's grown old and deaf. God doesn't grow old and deaf. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we're going to become people of prayer and a church of prayer, we must be convinced that God answers prayer. And if he does answer prayer, then by all means we should pray, because prayer does make a difference. Prayer does make a difference. Okay, number three. The God who hears is able. The God who hears is able. Okay? So we're convinced that God exists, and we're convinced that he responds to our prayers. But the next question is there anything too difficult for him? Is there anything that he would like to do for us but doesn't do because he doesn't have the power to accomplish? Is there anything he would do if he could do? And the answer is no. In Luke 1:37, the verse says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And if you remember the context of that, the announcement to Mary that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and she raises the specter of the impossible, "That's not possible, I am a virgin." And the response was, "With God, all things are possible." Okay? That's a miracle of nature. That is bypassing the normal processes of nature and accomplishing something simply by the sheer will and power of God. God is able. Nothing is too difficult for him. In fact, nothing is slightly difficult for him. He can do whatever he desires and will accomplish whatever he wills. But wait a minute. Can he provide me with a job? And that's a question that some of you have been asking. And we already heard the answer from that corner of the room. Yes. Yes, he can. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can he find me a husband or a wife? If you're single and your heart's desire is to be married and raise a family, can he do that? When you look at the available options out there, for example, and you say, "There's nobody for me. Can he provide that?" Yes, he can. Can he provide money to meet a financial obligation? Absolutely. I referenced George Mueller earlier. If you've never read his biographies, read his biographies sometime. He would sit the children down at the orphanage around the table. There'd be no breakfast there. And he'd say, "Now we're going to thank God for our breakfast, but there is none. We're going to thank God anyway." And they would pray and thank God for the breakfast, and there'd be a knock on the door, and it would be the local milkman or dairy. And he'd say, "I had some extras today, and I'd like to leave this milk and some, oatmeal and eggs or whatever for the children." Can God provide material needs? Absolutely. Can God reach a wayward child? Maybe you have a son or a daughter that is wandering from the Lord, or maybe it's a niece or a nephew, maybe it's a grandson or a granddaughter, and your heart is burdened for them, and you fret and you sweat and you don't know what's going to become of their life. Well, have you asked God to reach them, to reach into their life and to turn them around? Can he do that? Absolutely. Can he heal a broken relationship? Yes. Can he heal a marriage that is falling apart? Absolutely. Can he free me from the bondage of a sinful habit? Yes, he can. Can he save my unbelieving, hostile to Christianity friend or family member who you look at and say, "They'll never get saved. They hate God." Absolutely. Nothing shall be impossible to God. Nothing. What is it that is in your life that you say, if only, but I know that's not possible? Don't say that's not possible. With God, all things are possible, but we need to ask. Now, he doesn't give us everything we want, and we'll have to talk about that at another time, and we will, but he is able to give us anything we need, anything that is according to His will for us, that is best for us, because in the passage we referenced in Matthew earlier where Jesus was speaking, He says, a man's not going to give his son a snake, right? And so sometimes, in our understanding of the world and our lives, and we think we need something and we're asking God for something and He doesn't give it to us, we don't realize we're asking for a snake. We don't realize we're asking, but we are. And God's going to say, I'm not going to give that to you because that's going to hurt you. That's not going to be good for you. But He's able to give us anything we need. And the fact is that we see only a fraction of the power of God at work in our lives simply because we do not ask. In James 4:2, I think this is one of the simpler but more profound verses in the Bible. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. I want you to think about that. You do not have because you do not ask. What don't you have because you haven't asked for it? What blessings of God in your life are non-existent simply because you haven't asked God for them? What movement of God in the lives of other people did not happen because you didn't ask God to work in those people's lives? What people today do not yet know Jesus as their Savior because you haven't asked God to save them? Wow. You do not have because you do not ask. I want you to think about God's power and ability this way, because sometimes we're kind of practical atheists or sometimes practical deists. We just think, well, yeah, there's a God and He hears us, but He really can't do that. Well, I want you to think about God's power for a minute. God is the creator of heaven and earth, okay? And He created out of nothing. We go to Home Depot to buy stuff to make stuff, right? There was nothing. This is mind-blowing. There was nothing but God at one time. You realize that? There was no universe, no angels, no people, no worlds, nothing, just God. And God spoke, and things appeared. That's power, okay? So He's a creator, and He created out of nothing. Think about some of the things He created. Our sun is 93 million miles from the earth. That'll take you a while to get there, right? And it's 870,000 miles in diameter. And if it were hollow, you could fit 1 million of our Earths inside of it. God made that. God made that. Now, there are stars in our universe. Keep our sun in mind, okay? 870,000 miles in diameter. There are stars in our universe so large. Are you sitting down? Yes, you're sitting down, okay? There are stars in our universe so large they wouldn't fit in the space between our Earth and our sun. God made that. There's a star. They gave it a funny name. Betelgeuse. It's the red star in Orion's shoulder, if you know the constellation Orion. It is 650 times the diameter of our sun, and astronomers have discovered stars 1,500 times the sun's diameter. God made that. Now, you ponder that for a moment and tell me what it is in your life that God can't do. If you ever doubt God's ability to do something, go outside on a clear night and look at the sky, and the evidence of God's power and ability is right over your head every single night. Psalm 148, 3 through 5, praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all stars of light, praise Him, highest heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. In fact, this isn't in your PowerPoint. I have to bring you over to Isaiah 40. You have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, just listen. Isaiah 40. This whole chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, it's incredible, talking about the power of God. But listen to what Isaiah says, actually, in verses 25 and 26. God is speaking. He says, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? There's nobody like me. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. So think about it. What is it in your life that is beyond the scope of God's ability to handle? What problem is too big for him? What person can thwart his will? What situation perplexes him? What circumstance stymies him? Let there be Betelgeuse. Pow! Wow. Let there be a universe to put it in. Let there be planets and stars that number in the billions and trillions, in fact, are innumerable. Now let me do something in your life, but you have to ask me. You have to pray. Number four, the God who hears invites us to pray. Wow. The God who hears invites us to pray. Now, here's the part that's really amazing. Not only is there a God, not only is there a God who answers prayer, not only is there a God who is able to do anything and with whom nothing is impossible, but he says, now you come and talk to me. Now you come and pray. I want you in my presence. I want you to come and make requests of me. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us draw near in confidence. God wants us in his presence. God wants us to come in prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. That's amazing. God says, come. We are God's children and he delights in answering our prayers. We have an open invitation 24/7, early in the morning, late at night, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. God is there all the time. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. His ears are attentive all the time to our prayers. Nothing is too small or too great to bring to him. He wants us to pray and is waiting for us to come. The President of the United States is the most powerful leader on this planet. He leads the most powerful nation on earth. He has enormous resources at his disposal. He's connected to powerful people in high places. He can pick up the telephone and call any leader in the world at any time. He is commander-in-chief of the U.S. military. He issues orders and people spring into action. But I have absolutely no access to him. Neither do you. I can't call him on the phone. If I write him a letter, it will probably be read by an assistant to an assistant to an assistant who will send me back a letter with his signature on it, and I'll know better. If I tried to get near him to talk to him, a dozen Secret Service agents would take me down or shoot me dead. And he has never said to me, hey, Rob, I'm here for you. Call me anytime, anywhere. I will drop whatever I'm doing and respond to you. But God has. God has. God has said, come to me and I will answer you. He said, come with confidence and boldness because I want you in my presence. You've got my number. Give me a call. I'm here for you. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So what's on your heart today? What burden are you carrying? What are you so worried about that you can't sleep at night? What would you like to see God do in your life, in your family's life, in your friend's life? What would you like to see God do in your church? We might need $100,000 till we're all said and done to put our children's area back together. Guess what we don't have? $100,000. Guess what God has? Some of you are old enough to remember the little chorus, "He owns the cattle on a thousand hill, the gold in every mine. He is my Father, so they're mine as well." Think we should ask Him to provide that? What blessings are you missing simply because you haven't asked? God says, come, pray, I'm waiting, I'll hear you, and I'll answer you. So what are you waiting for? What keeps you from prayer? If prayer makes a difference, why aren't you praying more? Why aren't you praying about more things? Why aren't you petitioning God? I want to ask you to make a commitment this morning. And it's simply this, that you will have a daily time of prayer. We need to pray all the time, all throughout the day. But I'd like you to make a commitment that you would carve out at least a few minutes every day to do nothing but pray. So pick a time. When will that be? Because if you don't, your day's going to get away from you. You're not going to do it. Pick a time. Pick a place where you're going to pray. And then, even if you've never done this before, I'm going to ask you to do this at least for a little while. Keep a little journal. In other words, when you go to God, let's not just pray generalities. Dear God, bless me and all the children in the world. Okay? Because how will you even know if that prayer is answered? But what is it you need God to do specifically? And ask Him specifically to meet that need. Let's pray together as a church that we would have the money to rebuild our children's area. Let's pray together as a church that God would bless us financially because we have been running significantly behind our budget. Let's pray as a church that God would use us to make the gospel known all around us and bring lost people to Him so that we would be so full in here that we wouldn't know what to do with the people. Pray that God would provide a job for you. Pray that God would provide a job for your friend, for the person sitting next to you. What is it? Write it down. And keep a log of it, what you prayed for and when you prayed. And you know what? Go back and review that and see if God doesn't respond and answer those prayers. And sometimes maybe not even the way you asked, because the way you asked was the way you knew best to say, God, this is what I need, and if you would provide this. But God knew a better way to respond, and He answered that prayer in ways you never could have imagined. And see God's faithfulness through your own journaling. Would you do that? Would you do that? What difference does prayer make? No difference at all if we don't pray. What difference does prayer make? All the difference in the world. If we will take time to realize that the God who is in heaven says, come, come confidently to the throne of grace and call upon me and I will answer you. And nothing shall be impossible with God.